Morning, God's word comes to us from Psalm 145. Psalm 145, we'll be reading all the verses of this chapter. Psalm 145, beginning at verse 1, what we hear now is God's word. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness, and I shall sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all his works. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand. You satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. I invite you to turn to the back of your Trinity Psalter hymnal to page 890 in the back section. As this morning, we're going to read together from Lord's Days 36 and 37. That begins on the bottom of the first column of page 890. I'll read the questions. We'll respond together with the answers. Question 99, what is God's will for us in the third commandment? That we neither blaspheme nor misuse the name of God by cursing, perjury, or unnecessary oaths, nor share in such horrible sins by being silent bystanders. In summary, we must use the holy name of God only with reverence and awe, so that we may properly confess him, call upon him, and praise him in everything we do and say. Question 100, is blasphemy of God's name by swearing and cursing really such serious sin that God is angry also with those who do not do all they can to help prevent and forbid it? Yes, indeed. No sin is greater or provokes God's wrath more than blaspheming his name. That is why he commanded it to be punished with death. Question 101. But may we swear an oath in God's name if we do it reverently? Yes, when the government demands it, or when necessity requires it, in order to maintain and promote truth and trustworthiness for God's glory and our neighbor's good. Such oath-taking is grounded in God's word and was rightly used by the saints in the Old and New Testaments. And then question 102, may we also swear by saints or other created things? No, a legitimate oath is calling upon God as the one who knows my heart to witness to the truth and to punish me if I swear falsely. No created thing is worthy of such honor. This morning, we look at the third commandment, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. As we have been studying the law of God together, we have seen that the commandments are given because of who God is. The first commandment, we shall have no other gods before him because there are no other gods. The gods of the nations are idols, but our God made the heavens and the earth. That commandment rooted in who God is himself. The second commandment, worship God without any images because you saw no form when God spoke to you. God who is holy, God who is majestic, God who created the heavens and the earth, how would we image him? Nations image him as beasts. God is beyond that. He's beyond what we can do. And we'll see the same thing this morning as we look at the third commandment, do not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. It is rooted in who God is. Because God's name is more than just something we call him. God's name is his meaningful self-revelation. We learn something of who God is by how he names himself. To reverence the name is to reverence the God of the name. In the Heidelberg Catechism, we see this morning, once again, we are going to be told those things that we should not do with regard to God's name and those things that we should do. That'll play itself out as we continue to look at the law of God in our study the next few weeks together. This morning, giving careful attention to the name of the Lord our God. As I said, names are significant. Names are important. Names were significant in the Scriptures. We think all the way back in creation, where we read that Adam was created from the ground. Now, maybe that doesn't strike a chord with us as we hear that in English. But as we read that in original Hebrew, we read that Adam came from Adamah. There was a connection between those two, connection between Adam and the ground from which he came. When God made woman, she was taken from man. You can see the connection there. Woman was taken from man. Again, from the original Ish. Isha was taken from Ish, the woman taken from the man. The name was significant. We think of when Isaac was born. Remember that story, children? When Isaac was born, God came to Abraham and to Sarah and said, "You're going to have a child." And Sarah laughed about that. And then when they actually had the child, other people laughed along with them. And what did they call him? They called him Isaac. Isaac means laughter. The name was significant. Place names in Scripture were significant. When Abraham was called to go to Mount Moriah and to sacrifice his son, and God provided for him a substitute. There was a ram caught in the thicket, and Abraham named that place Jehovah Jireh. God will provide. The name was significant. Names like Bethel, the house of God, Peniel, the face of God. Significant names. Names that have meaning. Some names were changed in the Scriptures because of their meaning. Abram, mighty father, had his name changed to Abraham because of God's promise to him. He would be the father of many. The name was significant. Jacob had his name changed to Israel Jacob, who was the twin of Esau, when Esau came out, Jacob was grabbing onto his heel, and that name heel grabber became used for one who puts the wool over someone's eyes, someone who's a trickster. Jacob's name was changed to Israel, one who wrestles with God, because that's exactly what he did. The name was significant. And we see the same in God's divine name. His name reveals something of his character. When he was asked, what name may I call you by? God says, call me I am. I am. We talked last week, the week before, about God's eternality. That name, I am, that speaks of God who always has been, who always will be. It was revelatory of who God was. That was also why when Jesus in John speaks of himself as I am the bread of life, I am the good shepherd, I am, they would hear that he was connecting himself with the Old Testament God, the I am. That's why they were so disturbed when he would say, I am these things. God is I am. He is merciful and he is compassionate. When Moses said to God, let me see something of your glory, we read in Exodus 33, and the Lord said to Moses, the very thing that you have spoken, I will do, for you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name. Moses said, please show me your glory. And he said, I will make all of my goodness pass before you, and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will show mercy to whom I will show mercy. In the next chapter, we read this in chapter 34, verse 6. We read there, the Lord passed before him, proclaiming, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. That is who God is. And David picks up that language in verses 8 and 9. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. It was his meaningful self-revelation. This is who God is, merciful, compassionate. And we see that mercy and compassion focused in the work of his Son, Jesus Christ. The one who came to give his life that we might have life. The one who is merciful. The one who is compassionate to us. God is great. He is powerful. When I was, I think, in about high school or so, there was a song that was popular. I'm not sure if it's popular anymore. The song El Shaddai, the name of God. El Shaddai, Almighty. That song refers to God as El Elyon, God Most High. We reverence this God, this great God, this powerful God. We reverence his name, because to reverence his name is to reverence him. David speaks about blessing the name of the Lord forever. He says in verse 13, the Lord is faithful in his words, kind in all his works. The Lord upholds all who are fallen, raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You opened your hand. You satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. God, the provider. God who cares for his people. God who loves his people, who gives them everything they need, both physically and spiritually. The one who is righteous. The one who will do what he has promised. Again, from verse 17, the Lord is righteous in all his ways, kind in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call on him.
To all who call on him in truth, he fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. God's faithfulness to his word, both in blessing and in curse. He is a faithful God. He is a promise-keeping God. This is his revelation of himself. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for to take his name in vain is to take God in vain, to trivialize who he is. And so we are warned about misusing that name. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. The misuse, the misuse by thoughtlessly taking God's name on our lips. And we hear that a lot today. Using God's name to punctuate our language, to make it seem more significant than it is. We hear that on the street, and we hear that in the store. I used to, when I was in the restaurant business, worked with a man who, it seemed like every sentence, he would punctuate his speech with the vain use of God's name. And finally, you know, I said to him, do you realize what you're saying? Oh, it's just a word. Tried to explain to him the significance of that particular word, the thoughtless use of God's name, bringing God's name down to our own level as if he was just like one other person. We must beware that misuse, thoughtlessly using his name. You know, some might say, well, then we just shouldn't use his name at all. We never, ever use God's name. And our catechism addresses that. No, we may use God's name. We may use God's name when we do so properly. Question 101, may we swear an oath in God's name if we do it reverently? Yes, when the government demands it or necessity requires it to maintain and promote truth and trustworthiness for God's glory. We may take God's name on our lips when we do so reverently, when it is necessary. But if we do that, then we must be sure that we then speak the truth. If we take an oath in the name of God, we are committing ourselves to saying that which is true, because if we do not, we not only dishonor ourselves, we dishonor God, the one in whose name we have sworn. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. We misuse his name when we refuse to acknowledge God. Refuse to acknowledge that he does exist. Act as if he's just so far off and so distant, doesn't know what's going on in our lives. We live in a way that sees God as irrelevant. No, we have to recognize he's the God who has an ongoing presence in our lives. Again, from verse 15, the eyes of all look to you. You give them their food in due season, recognizing God's provision, that all that we have comes from him, and we thank him for that. We take his name on our lips in thanksgiving. No, we are not to misuse that name. And certainly not by blasphemy. What is God's will for you in the third commandment? That we neither blaspheme nor misuse the name of God by cursing, perjury, or unnecessary oaths. We neither blaspheme nor misuse God's name. Using God's name in a curse, taking what is holy and making it common, this is a violation. This is a trivializing of the name of God. Not blaspheme, not taking his name in vain. Nor remaining silent when we hear his name taken in vain. Again, from our confession, that we neither blaspheme nor misuse his name, nor share in such horrible sins by being silent bystanders. When we don't speak up for the name of God,
And again, I'm always kind of shocked by what the catechism covers and what it doesn't. It is a special question just dealing with that. Is blasphemy of God's name by swearing and cursing really such serious sin that God is angry also with those who do not do all they can to prevent and forbid it? Yes, indeed, no sin is greater. Because to take God's name in vain is to take God in vain. To allow his name to be dragged through the mud, to fail to stand up, to be a silent bystander, is also to misuse that name and take it in vain. And kids, imagine you were talking with your friends, and all of a sudden, they started saying a bunch of bad things about your mom and dad. They started saying bad things and hurtful things about your mom and dad. And you'd say, don't say that. That's my mom. That's my dad you're talking about. We would stand up for our parents. Our Father in heaven. His name is holy. His name is righteous. His name is perfect. Do we stand up for the name of God? Because it may be if we gently and lovingly engage someone in that conversation about the use of God's name, it may be an entrance point for explaining who this God is, why his name is important. It may be an entrance point for the gospel, that God might use the honor of his name to continue to bring people in fellowship with him. God's honor is at stake when his name is being misused. We need to gently but forthrightly stand for the name of God, not be silent bystanders, and so share in that sin. Our confession tells us what we should not do and what we should do. The second half of 99. In summary, we must use the holy name of God only with reverence and awe, so that we may properly confess him, call upon him, praise him in everything we do and say. We must use the holy name of God with reverence and with awe. That's where David begins. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. This God, his name is to be used with reverence and with awe. We do that in one way when we come together this morning. When we come together to worship and to praise the name of our God and thereby to praise our God. And so we must be prepared to come and worship him. We must have our hearts and our minds ready to come into God's presence to praise his holy name. We often say a good Sunday morning worship service begins on Saturday night. It begins with proper rest to prepare ourselves physically to enter into God's presence, to prepare our hearts, our minds, our devotion to him. And then when we come, to be engaged in worship, to focus our minds and our hearts on what's going on around us, in the songs that we sing, to truly bring our praise to God as we lift up his name in song, to be engaged with what we are singing, to be engaged when we turn to him in prayer. And I know that I think one of the hardest parts of the worship service to be engaged in is in the prayer that we do. To enter into the prayer that is being prayed takes work on our part. It is the work God calls us to do. It is the work that we do when we come to worship, to be engaged as a body in prayer to him. As we gather together to confess God's perfections, his holiness, his righteousness, to confess our own sin,
and to be engaged as we once again hear the gospel. Yes, we are fallen, we are sinners, but in Jesus Christ, we have everything that we need. Oh, praise His holy name. And we embrace that truth. We embrace that God. We embrace His name, not taking it in vain, but seeing this is the only hope for a fallen sinner. And the call of the gospel goes out once again this morning. Embrace Jesus Christ. Know Him. Know His name. Know who He is. Know what He has done. And know the freedom from the bondage of sin. I will extol you, my God and King. I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and bless your name forever and ever. On the glorious splendor of your majesty, on your wondrous works, I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds. I will declare your greatness. Knowing God's name, using it properly, also includes bearing witness to who God is to those around us. Verse 11, they shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. To tell God's name to others, to reflect the truth He's given to us. He is the one and only God, and only in His Son Jesus Christ is there hope for sinners. God in His Son has placed His name on us. We are called Christian. We bear the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we are not in our own lives, in our own actions, to take that name in vain. Next Sunday, we're going to come together at the Lord's table. In just a few minutes, we're going to read the preparatory portion of the form to call us to reflect upon our lives, to call us to examine ourselves, and to see if in our lives, in our thoughts, in our words, we are taking God's name in vain. We are called Christian. And as we see that sin that still clings to us, confessing that to God, and then with assurance and with trust, coming together to be fed at His table as His people, as His children, to honor His name. God's name is holy. We have to take it seriously. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. On our lips, in our lives. The psalmist ends this way. My mouth will speak of the praise of the Lord. Let all flesh bless His holy name forever and ever. May we join with the psalmist to bless God's holy name in our lives forever and ever. Let's join together in prayer. Lord our God, we thank and praise You for who You are. You are the God who's chosen to reveal Yourself in Your Word. You are all-powerful. You are all-knowing. You are merciful, kind, and compassionate. Lord God, You've revealed Yourself to us in Your holy name. Help us to always honor that name. As we take it on our lips, as we gather for worship, as we live our daily lives, may all that we say and may all that we do bring glory and honor and praise to You. Hear our prayer, O God, for Jesus' sake. Amen.